Well, greetings to you again on our final day here. God bless you as you are looking to the Lord in His Word for your inspiration, for your daily food, and for your strength to walk in this life in a way that will honor and glorify our Father in heaven. I'm going to give you some passages here, and there's several things in here that we can claim as Christians, and we can see that there is a benefit to obedience here. And as I mentioned before, the Bible is just, I don't know, you couldn't read much of the Bible and not find something that God has relayed to us, conveyed to us about the if and then. If you walk with me, if you do this, then you will have the blessing. If you do these things, then you will be able to see some fruit in your lives for the benefit of God's kingdom. And so I'm gonna be reading to you the book of Philippians. I'm in chapter 3, and I'm just going to break in here in verse 17, and it says, "Brethren, be ye followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example." Now, this is Paul here, who is writing a letter to the Philippians. They are living in Philippi, and God put on Paul's heart to write this letter. And I just want you to understand, even though that Paul is the author of this, ultimately this is coming from God. I hope that's a given for you, and to know that yes, God did use a man, but this is the word of God coming through an apostle. And so he's saying, "Brethren, follow me. I want you to follow me and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example." Verse 18 says, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ." Now Paul is saying here, I have given you an example, and he gives God all the credit for this. I don't think he's boasting here. I think he's just saying, here's what God can do in a life. And he is powerfully and effectively working in me through Jesus Christ and by the power of his Holy Spirit. And now you can take my life for an example. You look at me and you look at others, and you'll see that there are many that walk. He says, "Of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ." And there's lots of application there. There can be people that confess Christ, that say that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, and they can be living a life that is showing that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. And you say, well, that's kind of strange. Well, the cross of Christ, that is where salvation was completed there. And the payment was made for sin. And if you try to take that yourself and make that your payment yourself, you become an enemy of the cross of Christ. You become somebody that's trying to work your works into salvation. And we're saved unto good works. That salvation came through God. It was his right arm. He came and he saved us. And he used the cross of Christ. And we don't dare want to try to compete with that. Let God do the saving, and then let him fill us and give us power to live a holy, sanctified life. So, anyways, let's go on. It says that these that are enemies of the cross, it says, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, their inward emotion, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Now, he's giving a pattern here. He's saying, you've seen my life. You've watched me walk. You've heard me talk. You've read some of my writings, possibly, and there's a contrast. And he's giving you an example here, and giving me an example here, of those who are walking to destruction. Their God is their belly, the glory is in their shame, and they mind earthly things. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means that they are more interested in the things of earth than in the things of God, and the things of heaven. More concerned, more consumed about those things than with God. Verse 24, our conversation or our citizenship or is in heaven, from whence we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. We have a different citizenship. We have a different set of rules, a different standard than the world. We have a different king. His name is Jesus Christ, the Savior. Now, it's not totally manifested in this earth yet, but it will be. But he has his citizens. He has those that are letting him rule and reign in their lives. And he's changing our vile bodies. And he is fashioning us like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Now, there's a break in our Bibles here, chapter 4. But you see here, it starts with therefore, verse 1 of chapter 4, excuse me. He says, therefore, my brethren. And so he's saying, I'm just staying right on this subject. Even though the chapter changes, there's the same theme coming on through here. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and my crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Be careful and stand fast and be encouraged, is what he's saying. Be strong. Verse 2, I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Now he's writing to something that is certainly of his time here, and he's saying, I had help. There were people that were co-laborers. They were fellow laborers with me. And I want you to keep in mind these people and help them. And he says there was some women that also were helping in the spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they labored with him in the gospel. Now, they weren't preaching. I'm quite sure of that. They weren't taking authority over a man. But they were helping. They were kind of behind the scenes. That's the way I take it, just reading the full scope of the Bible. I believe that's the way these women were being. They were helping with meals, possibly, and maybe doing laundry. I don't know exactly, but there was some help they were giving here, and he's saying, remember them and help them. And it says here that there's other fellow laborers in Christ. And interestingly, he says, whose names are in the book of life. Now, I know this is a controversial subject, but Paul here is saying there are some laborers that are working with me, and their names are in the book of life. At least at this point when the letter is being written, they were walking in the way. Now, I realize that some people can choose to walk out of the way. I'm not a Calvinist by any means, where they say once saved, always saved. I think that's a deadly, dangerous doctrine. But at this time, these fellow laborers with Paul, their names were written in the book of life. And I'm aware of the scriptures that talk about the names can be blotted out. And that's a whole other subject. But at this time, these laborers that were working with him, he knew they were walking in the way of God in Jesus Christ, because he knew their lives and he saw the fruit. Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. He's not somewhere else out there. It's not in the kingdom that someday will come. He's at hand right now. He's here. Verse 6, be careful for nothing, or be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. He's given us this instruction how we can bring our requests to God without anxiety, without being careful about it. That careful is like worry or anxious. But by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Verse 7, and here's another promise, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, he's saying you follow this pattern, and something miraculous will happen. He says the peace of God that goes beyond our understanding, it passes all of our understanding. We can't explain it. It's the peace of God. And he's saying this peace from God will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Now, here is an important thing. The heart and the mind, these are two things that are we can read in the scriptures that our hearts are wicked. Our hearts are desperately wicked. And our minds, think about your mind. Do you ever have any thoughts that you know God would not be pleased with? That's your mind working. Your heart and your mind combined together, the thoughts of your heart and the thoughts of your mind, they come through, and if it's not in Christ, well, guess what? They're going to be really wicked, very wicked. You just look at the world around us, those that don't even bother with God at all, their hearts and their minds are so messed up. Their hearts and their minds are so dark and so wicked. But he's saying here, there is a God of peace, and he is going to keep your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. So here's a promise that we have. When you feel like your heart is getting rebellious, your mind is getting to think on things that are not good, I want you to cry out to God and make your request known to him. Change my heart, O God. And he says here, here's a good practice for you, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. That's where your mind needs to be. That's where your heart needs to be. And God will do it, as we just read in here. God will do it as we are anxious for nothing, but come to God with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving in our hearts, to make our requests known to God, and he'll give us that peace that will keep our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Meditate on that a little bit. Think about that. Don't let your mind go where it should not go, but let God have it. Let God have your heart. Let him cleanse, and let him wash and renew the heart and the mind. They are such enemies of God, until he renews them through Christ Jesus, as we've read here. It is available for us today. It is possible. Paul said, you have an example of those that have walked in him. Follow us as we follow Christ. We have this wonderful promise from God. And the God of peace that passes all understanding shall keep our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. If you're struggling with those things, I encourage you to pray, cry out to God. I struggle with them, and I need to do this constantly. It's not a one-time prayer. God, help me. Give me the peace that passes all understanding and keep my heart and my mind through Christ Jesus our Lord. May God grant you this as you seek him with all your heart and as you pray this prayer. God bless you.